I'm here today to introduce the giver of today's message. Reverend Sandy's on vacation visiting friends and family for the Thanksgiving holiday. And today we have a speaker that most of you who've been around here any amount of time will know, and that is Dr. Lisa Greco. And normally her mom would be sitting over here. Her mom is Mary Lou Siebold, but Mary Lou's power was out and it just didn't work for her to be here, so she's watching online, I'm sure. But I want to say a couple of words about Lisa. I messaged her the other day and said, gosh, you know, I know so much. What would you really like for me to focus on? And she said that I asked her about her educational background. She has a double master's degree in theology. I'm sorry, and a doctorate in theology. Now, she said she's semi-retired, but if you know Lisa, that's hard to imagine that she will ever be retired. She's teaching online for Bethel and Purdue universities, and she said, and this is a quote, so I'm going to read it, she's enjoying the sunshine and ocean on North Carolina's crystal coast of the Outer Banks with her life partner, Mark. I think she just got tired of shoveling snow, but anyway, here is Dr. Lisa Greco.
Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to be here and honored to stand in for Reverend Sandy on this very important first Sunday of Advent. And I got to tell you, I really miss everyone and think of you often as I'm settling into my new life here in New Bern, North Carolina. The closest Unity Church is 40 miles away. And so I try as much as possible to connect with them via their Zoom services, and also know that I'm lurking or either actively involved in the broadcast of our Unity services from Unity of Michiana. So just want you to know that you're in my thoughts and prayers often. And a special thanks to Kevin and Susan, the technical dynamic duo, for helping to make sure that this video goes off without a hitch for you today. Okay. So I thought what we would do today, being the teacher that I am, is I would share some historical information with you about what Advent is and how it's kind of morphed over time. I thought we would take a minute or so to look at the symbolism of the different candles and icons, if you will, on the Advent wreath. And then I would like to share a little bit of perspective and some maybe helping you to rethink your paradigm about Advent as we look at what each of the separate candles means on there. I would also, if you don't mind, like to share with you some very brief little stories from my life experience as a child growing up and how Advent was presented to me and the whole concept of the Advent season. So if that's okay with you, I think we'll go ahead and get started, all right? Just keep in mind, I will try and keep my eyes into the camera at all times, but I do have some notes down here because there's a lot to go over. So bear with me if I have to look down for a few minutes or so, okay? All right, well, let's get started. And I think a good place to start is, where did the word Advent come from? You know, we have Advent calendars and Advent this and Advent services. Well, what does it mean? Well, Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning the coming. And it's very interesting because originally, you know, back in the day, there was, and we'll go through this in a second, it wasn't what we thought it was, what we think of it as today. So originally, the purpose of Advent was to prepare newbie Christians, so to speak, in that time, way back, to prepare for baptism. They didn't do baptism like churches today do, where, you know, they'll have different Sundays throughout the year, maybe, to do baptism. They did it one time, big group baptism. It was usually in the month of January, thereabouts. And so there was a time of preparation and prayer and things in preparing those people to become full-on baptized Christians. So that's kind of where it really started. There was no wreath involved or anything like that. Well, it morphed into a time being marked by 40 days, 40. And the number 40 is very interesting to know because 40 in biblical terms represents, it's a metaphorical term for a season in life. So we all have seasons in our life. We have seasons when we're parents. We have seasons when we're teenagers. We have the season I'm in now and getting to understand the season of being retired. So it was to mark a season in like 40 days. So we also hear it in 40 years, such as Moses wandered the desert for 40 years with the Israelites. So 40. Anytime you hear that, that's what it's talking about. So there was no real special event tied to it when it morphed over into this. It was just a time of 40 days of prayer, fasting, and penance, and just preparing your own spiritual accountability, if you will. That's how I understand it. There's nothing really significant like the baptism as it was prior to it morphing. That's just the way it was. And still, no wreath was at play. Well, during about the 5th century, we start to see Advent become tied to Christmas as a time of anticipation, a season of preparation, prayer and penance and things like that, moving it to Christmas. And in the 6th century, then the Roman Christians tied Advent to Christmas, but their idea was not to symbolize the coming of Jesus, as we still see it today, but it was for the end times, the end of the world, when Jesus is to return. And so there was much anticipation, I guess, at that time that he was coming soon. And that's how they saw it. So that then became the Advent kind of thinking or paradigm during that time in the 6th century. So it wasn't until 1859 that we see in the literature and things where there's a mention of an Advent wreath. And this was created by a Lutheran priest who was trying to teach his congregation about this concept of a season before Christmas. And he used a cart, a wheel off of a, you know, probably a hay cart or a farm cart of some sort. That was his wreath, probably laid it down on the ground, I am guessing. And then into that, he stuck 20 small red candles. And he also interspersed it or marked it with 4 white candles to symbolize the 4 weeks. Okay, so there's the 4 and then 5 candles in between for the days of the week. And he also used pine cones to symbolize the resurrection of Christ, okay? The new life through resurrection, because pine cones are seeds for, you know, the pine trees. And then red holly berries were used on the wreath to symbolize the death and sacrifice of Christ. So those are the original symbols or icons on the wreath. And so you see different people having different things in their homes today on what their wreath looks like. It may have pine cones, it may not. It may have holly berries, it may not. It just may be candles. But they typically tend to be very beautiful, whatever they are. And so just remember, it's a time to, as it was intended, to just be intentional, is a word we use in Unity a lot, to be intentional about what's going on around us at a particular time of year. So today's wreath, and you can probably just, you know, look over there to the one I'm sure that's at the front of the church already, has 5 candles, 4 of them, one symbolizing each Sunday of Advent, and then a white candle in the center is the Christ candle. And so each Sunday, we light a candle, we have a prayer, maybe a special reading, and that marks that Sunday, and then, you know, we go through that each Sunday until we get to, some people light it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, the Christ candle in the center. The 4 candles represent love, joy, hope, and peace. Love, joy, hope, and peace. And their colors can vary. Through history, they've varied. Some wreaths are 4 blue candles and a white candle in the center. Some are 4 red candles and the white candle in the center. Unity, ours is on that kind of lavender purple kind of spectrum there. And then the Christ candle in the center. So again, color in most churches is not really an issue. You know, they have the traditional colors. In Unity, as you know, if you've ever been to a 12 power service on at church, you know that color is very important. We have very specific colors for the 12 powers. So that's why we use the colors that we do. And although modern day Advent doesn't span 40 days, it's just like a little around a month, we still have the derivation of the 40 in the 4 candles. So we still see that symbolism of that season of 40. So it is a symbol of a time of our life when we ideally are in spiritual preparation. But what has happened to it? I mean, it was never, Advent was never, these few weeks before Christmas was never intended to be a countdown clock or a checklist for your to-dos for the holiday season. But I think personally, you know, just my observations is, you know, we've kind of gotten away from that. Yeah, we go into church on Sunday and we light the candle and we do the readings and things like that. But what are we doing the rest of the week? And it's not that I have anything against Christmas gifts, you know, or that type of thing, but have we gotten out of balance? And I think, you know, as a society, we have. I really do. I really think that we have gotten out of sync. And some of the symptoms of that can be the thinking that we tend to find ourselves in, you know. So let me share a few thoughts that kind of wandered through my head, the heads of my friends as I've talked to them, or just what I hear people saying, even the chatter in the stores. You know, this morning I was in a store and I heard some lady chattering and with her friend, and, you know, it was clearly one of these kind of mindsets. So here's what kind of tends to clog us up this in the holiday season of Advent, instead of really being in preparation spiritually. Here's what kind of might sound like, oh, did I get all my gifts bought? Did I forget somebody? I know I'm forgetting somebody because, you know what, last year I had them all wrapped and ready to go. And then in like March, I was digging out my St. Patty's Day stuff and I found Christmas gifts for two people. You know, do I have everybody accounted for? Are my Christmas cards in the mail? Are people still even mailing them out? I don't know. It's getting, stamps are expensive and I don't even want to get tangled up with e-cards. E-cards, you know, who knows what's going on with those or where they're going to end up. I don't know. I just don't want to bother with it. I'm not technically minded anyway. I don't want to get involved in that. You know, how are we going to deal with Uncle George? If he comes this year, he just got out of rehab and he starts his stuff again. Who's going to manage him? Who's going to keep him away from the kids? How are we going to deal with that if that happens? I hope the rehab stuck. That's all I can say. With everything I've got going on, how am I supposed to get all my stuff done and all my family stuff done and still get the kids over to the exes for their family function? How am I going to do that? Nobody is helping me. Do you know what time I have to get up every day to get stuff done just so they can go over and be with their father or their mother or whoever? It's a lot of work. I don't know if I'm up to it. And why am I going into debt buying gifts for people who don't really care? They don't really care if I give them a gift or not. And why is it I have such a struggle with that? Is it worth it? The economy is bad enough. Why am I piling more on myself? Or here's my favorite one. Every year I work my butt off to give my family a Hallmark Christmas movie kind of experience. And I'll be danged if somebody in this family doesn't mess it up. Not going to happen again this year. And I'm telling you, if it does, that's it. No more. Next Christmas, it'll be just me, my pets, and a glass of wine. That is it. Does that sound like something you might have said or thought, or you've even heard around you? And it's really sad that I think we've been imbued with this mentality that says the Christmas season starts with the Black Friday sales and ends the day after Christmas on the 75% off the Christmas wrapping and whatever else is left in the stores. And everybody is scurrying like maniacs to do it. And I mean, and it's such a crazy time, they send news crews out to cover the lines of people waiting to spend their money in the stores instead of just taking a breath and realizing that this season has, yes, a beginning and it has an ending, but it's intended to be a time of spiritual reflection. And sadly, we've missed all that. We've been conditioned to drive ourselves crazy into what a good Christmas looks like and what we should be doing. It drains our life force, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, if I am not watching it, I can be very tired and worn out at Christmas and I can't enjoy things and I get cranky and I'm quite frankly looking forward to this first Christmas where things are going to be a much slower pace. I mean, it's the South, it's going to be a little slower anyway, but just the whole thing about not having to do so much and to simply relax into what the season is all about. So if we focus on the spiritual aspect of the season, it offers us a time to go into like this temporary space, this special season of time where we can go inward and we can reflect on what it means. So what does it mean? Well, as I said, each one of those candles represents hope, joy, love, and peace. And the center one is the Christ candle. Well, the hope, love, joy, and peace are virtues that surround the presence of the Christ. So when the Christ presence is within us, we are more apt to give love, hope, joy, and peace. And doesn't the world need a little bit more of that? I don't know about you, but I can't go to TJ Maxx and buy that, right? So let's just pause for a minute and think about what we can do during this Advent season. I think what we can do is we set aside time on each week. And then remember, there's days in between. Okay, so it's a week, 7 days. We have to practice this four times a season to come into just a better place. And again, I'm not saying don't give up, you know, your family traditions and things like that, but maybe just slow the roll a little bit. So for 7 days, when we light that first candle, then we can recall hope, a time in our lives when hope pulled us through a very difficult situation. When hope pulled us through a very difficult situation. And to think back at that time and to remember the goodness of spirit that got us through that time. I remember, those of you that know, my son Anthony was so sick for 7 years. Actually, it was closer to 10 by the time all was said and done, where he almost died twice. And I had nothing but hope. That's all I had. I couldn't do a thing. It was the one thing I couldn't, as his mother, kiss the boo-boo and make it go away. The pain go away. I couldn't. And all I could do was hope and pray at his bedside and walk with him through that horrible season of his life as he fought to stay alive and to stay healthy. I often think about that. That was an experience for both of us that I think really defined us. But as I look back on it now that I'm out of it and I have the perspective of looking back, I can give thanks that I know that hope does spring eternal, that hope gives us that strength to move forward. So on the week that the candle for hope is lit, I hope each day you will take time to look back just for a few minutes while you're having your coffee in the morning and go back with spirit and look for a time in your life when you really understood what hope was all about and give thanks for that time. There's a scripture in Romans 5:5 that tells us this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. And if we have that power going for us, we can certainly endure anything. So let's take time to give gratitude for hope. When the candle for faith is lit, faith is trusting God, trusting in God. We can set aside time during that particular week of Advent to express gratitude by recalling what I like to think of as our first encounter with knowing that spirit was within us and that he, she had our back at all times. I remember first coming to Unity Church some 38 years ago, maybe 39, 38. We were over on Burke Street. Reverend Barbara was there as the minister. And I remember there were so many services in the beginning, I could not go to and not cry. I mean, I just cried because somewhere in my soul, I knew I was home spiritually. I was home. And that is the faith that I feel whenever I walk into, especially a Unity church, or I'm in communion with my Unity family and other Christian friends and others of other faiths too. We all have that if we want it and if we're willing to recognize it. So can we take time during the week that the faith candle is lit to recall our times of faith and what that means to us? The third candle that'll get lit is the candle of joy. And remember joy through perhaps the simple acts of kindness that we can do for others or that others have done for us and have given us such a joy. Do you ever pay for somebody's drink behind you at a drive-through or you know, do a kindness for a neighbor or something like that? Do you remember that good feeling that you had in your heart? And especially if you were able to do it without them knowing it. When we were little kids, my Aunt Stella, my mother's sister, when she would put out her nativity scene at the beginning of Advent, it was usually empty because, you know, that whole thing hadn't happened yet, but the manger was there. And she had beside it a little basket into which she had pieces of straw. And she would tell us kids, look, you know, every day, as many times as you want, I want you to do something nice for somebody else, but you can't let them know, if it's at all possible, let them know that you did that. So maybe that was something like, maybe we would go over and take in the neighbor's trash cans and put them back by their garage, because that was an elderly neighbor and it was just easier for us kids to haul that thing back there than the elderly neighbor. Or perhaps we would, you know, do some dusting for my aunt and, you know, not tell her and just, you know, her living room would be dusted. You know, we were kids, so we had to find little things that we could do. Here's what she always encouraged was, don't fight with each other. You can get a straw for that one too. So, and she said, and when you do that, she goes, you can take a piece of the straw and put it in the manger. And the goal is that we fill this up so that the baby Jesus has a nice place to lay. Now, the other hitch was you could not let anybody see you putting the straw in the manger. So if you have little kids, I tried this later than when Anthony was little, and it really was a good little thing. It really got him into a service mindset as much as you can with a three-year-old or a four-year-old. But, you know, he even remembers those times too. So the joy that came from of seeing the straw in the manger grow, knowing that each one represented an act of kindness. So during that week of joy, you know, how can you spread a little cheer? What can you do? Can you pay for somebody's meal at a restaurant? Can you do a kindness for a neighbor? Whatever it is, you'll know. You'll know. And then there is the verse that I found for that is 3 John 1:4, which is, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And isn't that what we want for everyone? Let's spread a little joy. The the last one you'll light is the candle of peace. And can we set aside those times to bring a small bit of peace to the world? I mean, you know, never more than ever do we need peace in the world. So wherever we can be that calm presence, we can step in and create a safe place for people to have a conversation where we can agree to disagree kindly and gently and lovingly. How can we go about each day during that week of peace to spread a little peace ourselves? And I think if we all do it, it can't help but have a positive shift in the world, right? And then when you finally get to lighting the Christ candle, remember that that represents, you know, the Christ presence on this earth, the awakening and the awareness of the power that is within us when we have the Christ presence within us, and that that is surrounded by love, joy, hope, and peace. We welcome the Most High. We light the candle in the middle. And it's interesting as we light that candle to recall that when Christ was born, the people of the day were looking for a mighty entrance of a king. I mean, they told a king was coming. Well, how do kings get arrive? They arrive in palaces. They're birthed by nobility. They have every need is met in a beautiful palace. And this king came very humbly and very simply, but with a very powerful message. So as you're lighting those candles, we're not just lighting candles. We are reigniting our awareness and our affinity with those virtues and our affinity and love for the Christ presence within us. And I'm sure if we can all do that, those little things every day during Advent, then we can stand and be in joy. And I'm reminded of an old hymn that says, "It is well with my soul." Thank you so much. Namaste.